Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hi, I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Dylan Thomas implored his aged father not to go against the to rage against the dying of the light. In fact, and Ed Koch will not go gentle into that good night. His rage is aimed at the dim and shrouded light that emanates a couple hours north of the city that he was once mayor of. Albany must reform, the 85-year-old Koch says. He's spearheading the New York uprising. Mr. Mayor, welcome to WNYC.
Pleasure. Thank you.
So most tangibly, Uprising is a political action committee. It wants to get legislators to sign a pledge. Tell me what the pledge contains.
Well, there are actually three pledges that we've asked the legislators to sign, and they are, one, that they will vote for legislation that will provide for an impartial commission to redraw the lines that have to be drawn next year as a result of the new census. A second pledge is that they will expand ethics reform and basically adopt what the governor proposed and what they turned down. Mm-hmm. And thirdly, that they will adopt a balanced budget provision called Generally Accepted Accounting Principles, which means that the budget is adopted without gimmicks. And what I can tell you that is really shocking is how successful we've been to date. In the Senate, we have 50 senators, incumbents, out of 61, that's a majority, who have signed the pledges. And in addition, 65 challengers, people who are running against members of the Senate. In the Assembly, there are 73 out of 149, and that means that we're three short of a majority, plus 102 challengers have signed as well. So it's an enormous success thus far. Doesn't mean we're going to win, because it requires that each of these incumbents or the challengers who beat them keep their promise next year to vote for the legislation that they have pledged to vote for.
Right. What's the party breakdown on who's been signing on to the pledge?
Well, the Republicans in the Senate have unanimously signed the pledges, so they have a majority in the Senate. In the House, or I should say, I say House because I was a congressman, in the Assembly,
yes,
it would be a majority of Democrats.
So if all three pledges are adhered to, if they even become law, what is that? Is that a first step to reform, or is that in and of itself reform?
What we started here, and I must say my colleagues, we call them trustees, include former Governor Cuomo and former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, Ned Reagan, former state controller, and a total of nine people, both the Democrats and Republicans, who have joined with me in this effort. And we started it last March, and we have come, as I say, a long way. Now, what we decided initially was that we would select three good government issues, not getting involved in issues that relate to substantive matters like abortion and gun controls and a whole host of issues that separate people,
right,
substantively. Andrew Cuomo has made that his voie dire, so to speak, in selecting people. But we decided we wanted people on both sides of those controversial issues to vote on these three good government issues. And I'm amazed at how successful we've been.
I wonder,
I've been upstate.
I do wonder what will become of a pledge, just because a truly corrupt person has no problem breaking his word, and that's sort
that's
of
absolutely true,
right? And it's I just want to say, put a quote to you, Assemblyman Richard Gottfried of Manhattan, who has not signed the pledge, says it's perfectly clear that a lot of people who signed up for the pledge have never lifted a finger for reform, except perhaps the middle finger.
Oh, I think he's disgusting in his opposition to this, and I know him quite well. He's been there 40 years, 40 years too long, in my judgment, and we support his opponents who have signed the pledges. Now, let me tell you what we will do in the event they don't carry out their promise. Firstly, I must say to you that unlike people who have never been in public office, you automatically think they're all crooks. They're not all crooks. Mm-hmm. They're honorable people. There are some people who are dishonorable, but most people are honorable. And so I expect them just on that basis to carry out their commitments. But if they don't, we are prepared, the trustees and myself and those involved, to go into their districts next year and get the editorial boards who have been supportive of what we're doing to take up our chant of liar, liar, pants on fire. Now,
did you focus group that with third graders? How'd you come up with that one?
Well, that's an old line, yeah. You know, and the point of our using it is that people in public office do not know how to deal with ridicule. They just simply fold when ridiculed. It destroys them. And we believe that they know that. We're committed. We have an advertising budget. We're doing this on a shoestring, but there's so many things you can do on a shoestring in this modern area of technology, and we've got great technicians working with us that specifically displays whether people are good or bad in our context on the different websites. And while I personally don't understand them all, because I'm not what I would call computer literate as the technicians we have, they're in for some attack for the primary. We have a program going supporting the heroes of reform as opposed to the enemies of reform. Dick Gottfried is an enemy of reform.
Now, it doesn't surprise me that you're using public shaming techniques, that you're using the media and editorial boards, because I know that 3 years ago you wrote a book called Buzz, How to Create and Win With It, and chapters in that book are called Creating a Stir, How to Engage the Media, Attracting Loyal Followers. So my question is, as far as the buzz generated with this Albany uprising campaign, are you surprised that before you there haven't been too many expert practitioners really getting momentum behind people paying attention to the issue?
Well, the good government groups which support us are surprised how well we're doing, because every 10 years is an opportunity to zero in on redistricting. That's required by the Constitution of New York and of the United States, and it redraws the lines for Congress as well as the state legislature. And good government groups have been trying for many years to generate support for this effort to bring good government to the state legislature, and regrettably have failed.
Well, what are they? Are they too nuanced, not pithy enough, or do you just know how to be blunt and get media attention?
No, I'll tell you what we did that they haven't done. The first thing, I got all of the candidates running for governor, including Andrew and Rick, all of them, mm-hmm. Palladino, to agree that they would veto any legislation that did not provide for impartial redistricting. So that's an enormous weapon. To be able to take that and go to the Albany legislature, which is what I did. And then I know many of these people, and the first thing we did was to go up to Albany, and I'm pretty popular, if I say so myself. I'm not a threat to anybody anymore in terms of running. I'm 85. I'm never going to run again for public office. There was immediate support from many people, and many people came on board later. You can still come on board. We would welcome Dick Gottfried as the prodigal son if he came on board.
Would you apologize? Would you walk back your despicable comment if he did?
I would say they were not despicable when made.
Okay.
They would be despicable to be made after he comes on board.
Got you. Now, I wanted to ask you about getting both parties, because you were a Democrat your whole life, until in 2004. You didn't defect from your party, but you did endorse President Bush over John Kerry. You said you didn't agree with him on a single domestic issue, but the issue, all domestic issues, here's a quote, all Trump by the issue of terrorism, which Bush has enunciated the Bush doctrine and proven his ability to fight the war. My question for you is, did you make a mistake with that endorsement? And as far as New York uprising, are today's New York Democrats sore with you? Has there been any friction?
I'm very proud of it. Let me just say this to you. I am not a party hack. I'm not an ideologue. I'm a liberal with sanity. I have endorsed probably in my 50 years in public life and public office two dozen candidates that were Republican. I've endorsed thousands of Democrats. And, for example, when I endorsed John Lindsay twice, and his people said I was responsible for his election on his first occasion. Was that a betrayal of anybody? Everybody today, whether they like John Lindsay today in terms of his actual performance, at that time, that was reform. Absolute reform. And other people that I endorsed. I endorsed Rudy Giuliani twice. And I've written a book called Giuliani, Nasty Man.
I know you did.
But I believe he was a very good mayor. He just had a problem of personality. Now, getting back to George Bush, mm-hmm. If you believe that fighting terrorism, Islamic terrorism, is an existential threat, terrorism, to the United States and to Western civilization, and if you believe, as I believed then and believe now, that John Kerry and the Democratic Party on that occasion were soft, why wouldn't I cross party lines?
I read, I think it was in the New York Times, that you estimated that you only have a couple more years in you. Speaking of you today, the word vigorous comes to mind. How do you calculate your own self-actuarial tables there?
Well, you know, the average American lives to age 78. I'm well above that. I'm at 85. I'm in good health. I've had a number of medical incidents, but I've recovered from all of them. I had a stroke. I had a heart attack. But I've recovered from all of them. But being reasonably accepting of life, I understand. I mean, if I'm 85, I probably have 2-3 years left. I'm not sure I want to live to 90. I mean, if I can't have, you know, at 90, some people continue to have all their marbles, but a lot don't. I don't want to live without my marbles.
And I think we've seen or heard a side of you, which is you still got the fight left in you. As you've aged, have you found yourself getting more sentimental about anything?
Not sentimental, more forgiving. I have forgiven the people who I held grudges against, generally coming out of some political election. I've forgiven them all, and I am happier for it. And the reason I did was not that I'm happy with what they did. It is, if you carry a grudge, it consumes an enormous amount of energy if you are bent on somehow or other rectifying that situation with a counterattack. So I gave that up because I want to be positive. I want to leave in this last hurrah, which I hope it isn't, because I have another one or two more in me if God gives me the life that I can do it. But in this last hurrah, I want to leave a very positive mark by changing a dysfunctional legislature. You know, I didn't come up with the word dysfunctional. That was done by the Brennan Institute, which is a good government agency. And back in, I think, 2006, they said that the New York State legislature was the most dysfunctional legislature in the entire United States. They are a disgrace. And I want to change that. And I think we will.
Ed Koch, former mayor of New York, New York Uprising is maybe his last hurrah. He hopes it's a hurrah. He hopes it's not his last. Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, sir. Bye-bye.
And up next, we'll talk about an aspect of politics that doesn't get paid much attention to, but probably should, the party district leaders. I'm Mike Peskin for Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Stay with me.